You're on. You was on. Now it's off.
Good evening. My name is John Neff. I'm a relatively young man here in Kodiak. I've lived here my whole life. I enjoy Kodiak very much. Most of all, I enjoy America. Above all else, I'd say I love America. I love what it stands for. I'm also a private landowner here in Kodiak, and I appreciate the amount of freedom I am currently able to use when it comes to my own property. And what, you know, we can pretty much do as a day-to-day basis. And I don't just appreciate that. I truly believe that that is how it should be. You know, it's just very disconcerting to see how far overreaching, you know. Everyone has said so much. I mean, I could just, I'm not eloquent. I couldn't say all the stuff everyone else has said tonight. But in a long story short, you know, it's a communist agenda. It needs to be gotten rid of. And I appreciate all you guys hearing our comments and doing the best you can for us as general public. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Since I'm already signed in, I might as well say my piece.
Yes.
Just state your name. Lindsay, 3162 Spruce Cape Road. I've just recently had a number of very large changes in my life, and I'm looking at things through new eyes. And I'd like to say I'm not the old man I used to be. But as a Christian, I'm taught by Jesus' example of obedience, to submit to authority, to all laws, good or bad. That means whatever comes out, I'm supposed to submit to. I'm also commanded, if I am able, to speak out for the minorities, the poor, and defend those who may not understand how things may affect them, if I'm able to do so. In Luke 3:13, Jesus told the tax collectors, don't collect any more than you are required to. And I believe, and I grew up, and I thought forever, this borough would live under the code enforcement that it was enforced by complaint only. I'm not really sure whether that's been stricken from the code or if that was actually true or not. I don't know. I've only lived here 53 years. I inherited a whole slew of tsunami stuff. Good, bad, otherwise, it's mine, along with my own collection. And I'm going to have to defend it one way or the other. I mean, if this goes through as proposed, and I know this is all proposal, and I think it's going to be deeply and reviewed with a lot of comment from what I'm hearing now. I think we finally are making some progress. And I can say this as a former P&Z commissioner. I sat on where you're sitting for 6 years. Well, could be five. I want to make sure I'm honest here. And believe me, I feel your pain. I know how hard it is to go up against staff. If you disagree with staff, or they will just leave you out in the cold, fine. Find your own findings of fact. You're on your own. Clarence Seelig, with all due courtesy to Clarence, and I don't remember what it was we disagreed with staff on, and we went out on our own, and Clarence thought he was going to jail. And I literally assured, it's okay, Clarence. We just have to come up with our findings of fact, and we did have to get into code and statute and come up with our findings of fact. So be it. I personally don't feel that's how it's supposed to work, and I think right now you have a referendum here that we can change the way this is. And no, I'm not here to impugn anybody. I do want to continue to live here in the manner I have been, and I'm probably a messy guy, and, you know, and I've probably got a big target on my back now, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, I got to pay my dues anyway. Whatever I got to do, I got to pay on. But I think we're sitting here, from what I'm hearing, I don't need to belabor my point. I think this all started out, as Brent explained so well, at the appointed time and hour, and it just kind of got into the hands of staff, and that's the way it goes. And as the P&Z rolls over, that didn't roll over. It just kept a rolling and a rolling, and it just snowballed. And that's all we're looking at right here. We got a snowball, went down a hill. There's a lot of misconceptions that are out here. I know I walked into this meeting with a lot of them in my mind, so I'm not going to speak to that. I will read the code in its entirety and comment on what I differ with, but I do agree with Dr. Bob. Let's scrap the whole thing. There's a true factual psychological bias. It's human nature to keep throwing good money after bad. That's why Sears Roebuck really doesn't exist anymore except in the name of a tower And they hung on to those stores. They hung on to those stores. Amazon who? Internet what, you know? And Sears Roebuck is way bigger and had way better counsel than we have available to us here. And yet, that's what happens. And that's the unfortunate side. Well, we've all paid into this money that's been spent. So be it. I agree. Let's start over. And let's maybe re-examine the position of staff. And I'm not here to impugn anybody. I've never met Mr. Peterson. He looks like a nice guy. Let's, you
not
know.
Get into personalities.
Yes. Okay? Absolutely. I mean, but no offense, and no offense to staff or anybody who worked with. I appreciate it all. It was a learning experience. It was very frustrating. I pray for you for wisdom. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is still on, so I'm going to go. My name is Mary Brown, and I live out the road. And I've just recently had some issues with the borough where they took me to court for things that I have and own on my property that they said that I shouldn't own and have. And I am on Social Security disability, and so it was really, really tough for me to do all that. I had to write things to the court and to the judge and do all this stuff I'd never done in my whole life, right? And a few people helped me here and there, and it was really scary. And I had these big things that their lawyers were sending me that, like, just scared me to death. And I meditated and prayed, and it was really scary, but I went ahead with it. And the judge decided that, hey, you know what? Maybe since I own my own property, I am able to own some of the things I want to own and am able to keep some of the animals I want to keep. They had pictures of a horse trailer. What's she doing with that? Well, I own horses, and I have people board horses on my property. Pictures everywhere. Somebody, whoever, the borough officer was out taking pictures all over, up and down, everywhere he could, and was out every week, and he'd go to one spot and stop, and then he'd go down to the bottom of my property and pull up and get out and stop and look, and it was really, really intimidating, and I'm very, very happy to say that I feel we have a fair judge. I know you guys have a tough job, but I agree with everybody. This thing should just be thrown out. And God bless everybody for being here. God bless everybody for listening. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Brian Large, homeowner. I can see a lot of people made it here tonight and kind of filling in the spaces here. So you guys can listen to every homeowner that has a concern. And I don't know, it sounds like you guys made up all these codes, have a code enforcer. I know there's a police department, and I've been on jury duty before. So I know all this works out, and you guys are kind of sneaking in the back door, sounds like, until somebody gets a flyer in the mail, and I can see, you know, yeah, definition of junkyard, 100 square feet. And, I mean, that's just the eye of the looking at it. It's, everyone's has treasure, and they like to keep it on their land. And it is America, the land of the free, home of the brave, and I'm not sure where I'm at sometimes. I know I can see Russia from my house. Uses not listed are prohibited. It's a little too much for me. I mean, I have a honey-do list, and I mean, I go check things off it, but if it's not on there, it should be prohibited. That's just, you guys, I know you guys use these words, interpret, determine, resolve to their satisfaction. All that's deem necessary, deem appropriate, may allow, approve. I mean, there's some good words out there, and I think you guys are using too vague of stuff, and this code is really too much for Kodiak to handle, and this room is too small for Kodiak to handle. I know there's a couple open seats up there next to you guys.
My name's Judy Kidder, and I appreciate the efforts that you have being up here and listening to everybody. I attend a lot of borough assembly meetings, so I'm privy to a lot of things. Language is a very, very important thing. The biggest problem I have is what's throughout this code is that everything which is not allowed is forbidden. Now, where this phrase originally came from, and it relates to the United States Constitution, everything which is not forbidden is allowed. It is a constitutional principle of English law, which is the basis of United States law, an essential freedom of the ordinary citizen. The converse principle, everything which is not allowed is forbidden, applies to public authorities whose actions are limited to the powers explicitly granted them by law. That means interpretation should be as written. Your job is to interpret the law as written, not as interpreted. You could interpret that you don't like Brussels sprouts. But because it's not expressly, it's not allowed, it's prohibited. So just because one person doesn't like something, basically, because it's not written as being allowed, it's off the table. Exact language and wording is important. You find it all the time with the U.S. Supreme Court. They go by specific exact language and the interpretation of the exact language. All of the what you need to apply interpretation to should run through a flow chart of yeses and nos. Does it fit this application, yes or no? And that should determine how you interpret it. But the interpretation needs to be based on exact wording, not fuzzy logic. The basis. I know everybody here should have had a civics lesson. The Ninth Amendment of the United States of America. The enumeration or listing in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. It has its basis when the framers were considering all these things. The Federalists supported ratification of the Constitution without a Bill of Rights originally because they believed that any enumeration of fundamental liberties was unnecessary and dangerous. That's basically a listing of what you're allowed to do versus a listing of what you're not allowed to do is dangerous. Because if you say what is allowed, then basically everything else is not allowed. That is what is dangerous. That is why you should list what is not allowed and everything else is allowed. The Federalists were also concerned that any constitutional enumeration of liberties might imply that other rights not enumerated by the Constitution would be surrendered to the government. And this code has been written exactly like that. A Bill of Rights, they feared, would quickly become the exclusive means by which the American people could secure their freedom and stave off tyranny. That's why they didn't want the Bill of Rights. We now have the Bill of Rights. Those are the guarantees of the rights to the people. Kodiak, we the people. Federalist James Madison argued that any attempt to enumerate fundamental liberties would be incomplete and might imperil other freedoms not listed. A positive declaration of some essential rights could not be obtained in the requisite latitude. Madison said, if an enumeration or a list be made of all of our rights, will it not be implied that everything omitted is given to the general government? So what you're saying essentially in this code is, if it's not listed, everything is prohibited. So you're not allowing us anything. Third, anti-federalists argued that if there was a genuine risk that naming certain liberties would imperil others, then an additional constitutional amendment should be drafted to offer protection for all liberties not mentioned in the Bill of Rights. Such an amendment, the anti-federalists argued, would protect those liberties that might fall through the cracks of written constitutional provisions. This idea became the Ninth Amendment. It was plausible, Madison believed, that the enumeration of particular rights might disparage other rights that were not enumerated. The exceptions to power here or elsewhere in the Constitution made in favor of particular rights shall not be so construed as to diminish the just importance of other rights retained by the people or as to enlarge the powers delegated by the Constitution, but either as actual limitations on powers or as merely inserted for greater caution. So you cannot legislate because something might happen.
Please.
You need to give it something defined.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jenny Shank. I live at 4115 Woodland Drive, down at the dead end. I'm going to limit my remarks tonight concern about the proposed rezone from rural residential in our neighborhood to rural residential one, and also the allowance of accessory dwelling units. In 1976, we bought our property. We started building our home in 1980, moved in 1982. So yes, we are very long-term residents of this neighborhood. Just as an aside, how many people have ever driven down Woodland Drive all the way to the end? Okay, so you know where I'm talking about. We live right at the dead end. There are reasons that we are against the zoning change and the ADU allowance. We want this neighborhood to retain the rural environment for which it was originally intended, with as many trees as possible. You all also have driven through Woodless Acres, right? Yeah. Okay, we don't want it to look like that. We do not want the population density to increase. In a borough memo, it stated that as many as 100 potential additional building sites could be added, with people owning one-acre lots subdividing into half-acre lots. No, thank you. The population density would also increase if people owning 1 acre, or if they allowed to subdivide to half-acre, were allowed to have an accessory dwelling unit to rent out on their property. Can you imagine what that would look like? We do not want increased traffic on Woodland Drive. If you have not driven our road to the dead end recently, please do. The condition is terrible, and it will only become worse with increased density. We want to keep the 1 acre lots as they are and not chop up the area. Apparently, some people are thinking that there is a reasonably priced property shortage for building. It may have been at one time, but not now. Honestly, I don't believe it's my responsibility to provide more lots. Why doesn't the borough sell off some of the borough land? Finally, I understand if property owners in our area want to subdivide their lots to be able to sell them or rent out an accessory dwelling to help meet expenses. However, this is a big however for me. When these property owners bought their property, they must have been fully aware of the zoning restrictions. Why should the rest of us have to lose what we have because of their needs? Petitions have been turned into the Community Development Office from both sides of the issues. There are 59 lots involved, Woodland Drive, part of Sunset, and Seabreeze Circle, all of Seabreeze. The petition in favor of the rezone and the ADUs represents 11 pieces, no, excuse me. The petition in favor represents 11 pieces of property out of 59. So that was equaling 19% of the lots that were for changing the zoning. The petition against rural residential one and ADUs represents 19 pieces of property out of 59, equaling 32%. There are many property owners who were not contacted, but these numbers give you some idea of what the neighborhood wants. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Evening. My name is Ron Cavanaugh. Let me start by saying, sorry you guys have this job, but you're stuck with it. First off, the legacy is this bureaucracy that we're going to be left with. Dr. Bob, I mean, you guys, not you guys, but you don't understand. We don't have more money for stuff. All this stuff in this code that you're coming up with, how do you think they're going to pay for it? How do you think they're going to pay for these new trucks? It's by the stuff that's not being enforced. It's on the code maybe, but it's not being enforced. It's like we've got two dog catchers now. How do they justify their job? They catch more dogs. It's, if you look at this 100 and some pages, it should be a half a dozen pages. It shouldn't be 175 pages. I don't have anything constructive to say about your new code, except for it needs to be streamlined that a 12th grader can understand, or a 12-year-old can understand it. I shouldn't have to go to the borough office and have them explain to me what the interpretation of it is. That's not right. I should be able to look at that and understand what I can do on my property. I've got hoop houses that are illegal because they're over 36 inches high, and I got educated. I guess they always have been. But it's like, really? Anyway, you need to start over. And the last thing, I know it's not your fault, but I'm very disappointed that this venue was not changed. Venues have been changed for all kinds of reasons, heating issues, and I'm very disappointed. And thank you, and my seat's open for somebody to come in.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Athenia Large. I'm nervous. So on the tail end of that last speaker, I'd like to mention the hoop houses. That was one of the things I had a bit of an issue with. I read through the code. It was a little heavy for me, and I definitely agree with all the people that think it's a little unwieldy for the average person. Specifically with hoop houses, it seemed like it clearly said there were a lot of limitations, a lot of regulations, and it said you couldn't sell. And then it specifically said in the code something about this is not to discourage hoop house owners from selling. But I couldn't actually find in the code where it said what they were allowed to do, how they could actually sell their products, their eggs. I know the number of animals you have, the number of chickens you have is limited, which again, I think makes it hard for small people to have a business here. Personally, I'm a massage therapist. I have a home-based business. And another issue in the code that I was reviewing last night was that home-based businesses can only be in operation from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. So the way I read that is I can't give somebody a massage in my house, regardless of how quiet I'm being, after 9 p.m. And I feel like that limits me as a property owner and as a small business owner. There were also mention of any kind of home-based business that interferes beyond the property line with lights or with fumes or anything that it's not allowed. So the way I read this, with the hoop houses, with the home-based businesses, with the bed and breakfast issue that has already been mentioned this evening, is that it feels like it's just getting harder and harder for a young person to come to town and start a small business and grow it into something. You know, it's easy to have something be small and insignificant, but it seems like as soon as you become successful, as soon as your business grows, if you want to have, you know, your home over 1,000 square footage of your home be used for a home-based business, there's some kind of, if I'm reading this right, 40,000 square foot of building space is required if you need more than 1,000 square feet, which obviously doesn't pertain to me, but maybe if I had a mansion and that was one quarter of my mansion, you know, it seems like being small is allowed, but growing to be medium size isn't. There's all these regulations. You know, and I think I'm new to town, I'm from a city, and the code seems to me to be like a code written for a big city. And the thing that I value in Kodiak is that we're still a small town and that little community mom and pop shops are still encouraged here. I'd like to think that the town doesn't want more Safeways or Walmarts. We want to encourage mom and pops to have businesses, but I see this code as it's written making that really challenging. So I would encourage you, when you're looking at the code, to try to remember what it's like to be a young person starting out, wanting to make something of themselves in this town without being bogged down by unrealistic and confusing codes. And personally, I think that if it's on your property, if it is your business, then you should be able to have the hours of operation that you want. You should be able to have the materials on your land that you want. If those materials happen to be fishing materials, it's your property, and you know you shouldn't have to put up a fence or a wall to hide what's on your property from other people. As property owners, we should have the right to keep on our property what we want and to do on our property what we want, regardless of the hours of operation. And one small little sidebar is I believe also the noise ordinances in town go until 10 p.m. So if that's the case, I don't know why home-based businesses would be required to shut their doors at 9 p.m. if, as a community, we're still allowed to be loud until 10. And with the legalization of marijuana, I can see that there might be some concern in the future about noises or fumes with home-based businesses. And I feel like this might be trying to head it off at the pass. But again, as property owners and people running businesses out of our homes, we should have the right to do what we want and keep it open until 10 or 11 if we're not bothering our neighbors, if we're not bothering our community. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, how you guys doing? You guys are taking a pretty good beating today. My name's Pat Adams. I'm a property owner in town. I've been here for like the last 18 years.
Say Pat Adams?
Patrick Adams,
Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And this is not going to be as good as Dr. Bob or any of those other guys that were up here before me that were way better. The properties that I have owned in this town, and forgive me because I usually have three jobs, okay? So it's really hard for me to make it to these meetings. We all live here. We all shop at Safeway. We know how that goes. I got three kids and a wife. You know what I'm saying? A couple animals, things like that. I have had some dealings with the code because I'm a builder in town. So that's kind of my forte in what I do. And what I've had done in the past is I've taken older properties that may have been run down, and I've fixed them up. And to this day, there are people living in them, and they look a lot better than they did when I first acquired them. I just so happened to be on a same kind of piece of property, but it's a little bit bigger of a bite. I ended up buying the old Moore's place, and it came with a lot of old Quonset huts and buildings and fishing gear, and there's stuff buried in the mud there. I still don't know what's all there. Okay, you didn't have to do that to me.
Yeah, no, that's...
So, but, you know, I'm an honest citizen. I love Kodiak. I don't like seeing this crunch down of my freedoms and the reasons that I even moved here or wanted to move here. You know, I have a lot of stuff to do at my property, and I have great plans and big intentions. But first of all, you know, you gotta get permits, because if the code guy comes down to your house, you ain't got a permit hanging in the window, you're in trouble. All right. So that costs money. Well, again, we go back to time or money. That's what I got. You know, I'm either working three jobs, or I've got all the time in the world. So I'm an honest citizen. I try to do things the right way. I try to get the permits that I need. I take all my garbage to the dump. I got trailers. I mean, I could come in here. I'm not the guy. I think it's more work to take it to a damn dumpster and try to throw a fridge in a dumpster than to just take it to the dump, because they'll let you take it for free. You know, so I think you guys really need to take an open ear to the people here. There is probably 500 people in that hallway out there. And I can guarantee you right now, if we took a vote right now with the people that are in this room, the nays would have it. So let's go through the old code. Let's see what we can fix up. Let's make the definitions easier. And let's not cram something down our throat that just really going to make a lot of people angry in this town. And, you know, guys like me that have to work real hard to be able to get where we're at might just have to roll up and leave. And then you're going to lose your tax base. I mean, there's guys out there that got a lot less money than me. You know, I've got piles of stuff in my yard, construction, what's considered debris from somebody, but it's material to me, you know, because I'm going to use it, and I'm collecting stuff, and I'm bringing it up, and I'm trying to keep it in nice, neat piles. I'm trying to keep the yard sightly from the front. I do it all the time. I drive down the road. I look over, dang, that guy's yard is trashed, you know. Then what do? I don't pay the taxes on that property, so I'm not going to pay attention, you know. If it becomes a problem, the trash cops are going to take care of it, you know, if it's starting to leach stuff into the ground, whatnot. But this is a fishing community. We're simple people. If we wanted to live in Seattle, we'd live in Seattle. If we wanted to live in California, we'd live in California. This is Kodiak, where you're just darn lucky I'm not wearing extra tufts right now. You know, that's all I got to say. And, you know, I do appreciate your work, but I really want you guys to have an open mind to this and really think about it before you make any decisions, because really, you got a lot of people here that this might be the first meeting that they got to, but maybe they were working their other two jobs, and maybe they had to ditch work just to get here. So it's something to think about. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Mark Levinson. I've been here since 76. I think on the way in here, I was listening to KMXD, and they said that they're going to publish the delinquent property tax list coming up soon in the paper. And I've seen that in the past, and it's usually really long, a lot of pages. And why we're all here tonight is if you impose this new code, the little bit that I read that I could interpret, I realized that I would be a code breaker, and I would have to pay some extra money and come under code to fix it. And I think that everybody here is in the same position that I'm in, that if this thing went through, that they would have to spend extra money, or that code enforcer truck could pull up your driveway and say that you have to fix such and such, and if you were out fishing and you have 48 hours to explain or to, you know, to defend yourself, and it's a hardship for everybody. And there's a lot of people up here that are just barely making it, and those people would have to sell their property to taxes, and or, you know, you'd force them out of town. And that's why everybody's here, is because everybody here would be a code breaker if this thing went through, and we'd all be criminals. And that's why I think you should just scrap the whole thing and not put so much burden on all the people, make everybody criminals here. And I bet you people up there, you're probably code breakers too if this thing went through. If you check your property, you know, they would find something wrong with you on your property. And any little thing, you know, that a little complaint or something, that code enforcer truck pull up to your place and write you out a ticket. And we don't all want to be criminals. We want to comply with the law. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for your time. My name is Matt Corrieri. I'm a local business owner here. I'd like to express some concerns with this document. I will be addressing only one part of the code tonight, but that does not in any way that I am in favor of the rest of it. I should have been paying more attention to the workings of my small island community's government. However, I assume, like most people here, that my friends and neighbors and people on the board and the borough offices would have me and my community's best interests at heart. I will not make that mistake again. I'll start off with some quotes from some well-respected people who have a way with words that I do not. This is the true definition of a government: a group of individuals in a geographical area who remain the monopolistic moral and legal right to initiate force. Stephen Molyneux. This document is nothing more than initiation of force from an overreaching local government. The first line in the code speaks volumes and is nothing short of an Orwellian statement. Uses not listed are prohibited. This may be in the old one. I've never seen it. Let that sink in for a moment. That's not the way laws are written. Laws are reactionary, not open-ended and ambiguous. If for no other reason than this one line, the entire code should be thrown out and all work on it stopped immediately. It doesn't matter how much money has already been spent, passing it will have far-reaching detrimental consequences for our community. The urge to save humanity is almost always a false face for the urge to rule it. H.L. Mencken. On the crux, onto the crux of what I want to speak about tonight, section 17.4070, performance guarantees. I have read the code, Title 17, from front to back several times over the past several days, and I have many issues with it. However, this particular part is very troubling to me and my small contracting business. This section consists of an intent paragraph as well as seven paragraphs that explain the intent. What I gather from it, and I'm not a lawyer, this is that it does not make clear when, where, and to whom these performance guarantees will apply, and to whom, or by whom. It looks like it would be left up to the discretion of the officials in the Community Development Department. This could easily lead to problems with personality conflicts or parts being applied to one project and not another. It's also asking a person to finance their project to 230% unless the borough is willing to work as a bank and hand out the payments to the vendors and suppliers from this bond. I can tell you that construction projects are a real stretch for most people, and this would make any project impossible for nearly everyone. This action would force every small contractor to close their business. Only the largest companies would be left, and the prices would rise even more. It's unworkable, completely unnecessary. You are trying to fix a problem that does not exist with a bigger problem. Building here is already very expensive and very challenging. In Section 5, it states, and I quote, "The Borough Finance Department shall return any remaining funds to the applicant. The borough may retain up to 10% of the performance guarantee to cover administrative and consulting costs directly associated with reviewing and inspecting any improvements. If you cannot cover the cost of running this code with the property taxes and fees, then the cost is too high. Property taxes increase every year with made-up inflated property values. Asking for more from us is not only unfair, it's unconstitutional, and I will not stand for it. I own 6 real properties here in Kodiak and pay an incredible amount of money to the borough in property taxes. As well as being taxed on my business provides good-paying jobs for several people with families and provides a needed service to our community to keep the properties that you tax in good condition. I trusted that I would be represented by my local government, but I can clearly see that is not the case. I will not make that mistake again. I will fight this code change with every means that I have available to me. This code change is a complete overreach of our local government. This code revision is a direct attack on property owners of the people of Kodiak Island, and we are being made to prove that we will do no harm when doing harm is not the intention of most people.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Monique Lewis.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Monique Lewis. I'm relatively new to this community and this process. I've only been here for 2 months, so I guess I'm the outsider. But my observations still have been that the code as written before and the revisions seem to be a little bit surprising to me as Alaskan. I wouldn't have expected things like the inspector to be able to just come on somebody's property at a time that they seem as reasonable I wouldn't have expected to see that in a code in any city in Alaska, much less on Kodiak Island. That's one of the reasons that we were attracted to this place in the first place, is because we thought that it would be a little bit different than any place that we'd ever lived. So to us, that kind of seems like it's a Fourth Amendment issue. And I understand that that's in the old code as opposed to a new addition. So like so many other people have said, I think that what needs to be done is we need to be looking at revising the verbiage, because I'm sure the intent is not to trample on anybody's constitutional rights. I'm sure that it is a verbiage issue, not so much an intent issue. So I think what needs to be done is we need to be looking at rewording some of the old code, as opposed to spending a lot of time and effort in reinventing the wheel, so to speak. Or adding things that may not necessarily need to be added. Another issue that I've seen is language like reasonable and opinion. I don't see that opinion has any place in a legal document, like a code. And I see opinion written a lot. It's the opinion of the inspector, or it's the opinion of the department. I've actually never seen a code that has the word opinion or this department deems reasonable as many times as I've seen in this one. And I think that's a simple verbiage change that can be made. And then some simple things, not necessarily with the code, but with the procedure. I'm wondering about things like what does voting really mean? When you say that we're going to go through line by line, if necessary, particularly with Code 17, and vote, does that mean that the people in this chamber are going to vote, or does that mean that you're going to listen to comments and then you guys are going to go back in a room and huddle and vote? I don't know. I'm not clear on that, but again, I'm an outsider, so I don't know if everybody else is clear on that either. Other things, like some of the comments that I just heard as far as once this law, if it passes, or this code, if it passes, 90% of us are going to be lawbreakers. You know, I just bought a house, and I've got outbuildings that definitely are not up to code. So once this law passes, if it does, I'm going to be a lawbreaker. Are there any provisions for grandfathering? I've got a septic system that's 20 years old. I don't think ADEC existed when it was put in, but I know that when it was put in, you know, based on the current standards. But is there a grandfather provision? I've seen nothing about that. So I guess I would ask that there be some clarification on those types of things. And I guess that's really all that I had to say. So thank you for your time.
Did you get a chance to sign in, by the way?
Not yet.
Okay, thanks. Well, yeah. And just for anybody else that may be coming forward, I had folks do some pre-signing in. But if you haven't done that already, when you come forward to speak, please put your name on the sign-in sheet. Thank you.
My name is Ben Ardinger, and there's a lot of people out there, so I'm going to make it short and sweet. I feel the only fair way to decide this matter is to have the people in this community vote on it. I don't mean a special election where it's going to cost money. Just have it when the elections come in November. I mean, keep it simple. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Wiskowski. I'm a bed and breakfast owner, and I've seen several things that are very concerning when looking at the Title 17 code. A few of those issues are, I contacted the Visitors Bureau today to find out how many bed and breakfasts there are currently in Kodiak that the Visitors Bureau has under, that people have signed in with the Visitors Bureau so that they're aware of and use the services through the Visitors Bureau. It came to my attention after contacting them that more than half of those bed and breakfast owners have more than two rooms in their bed and breakfast. I'm baffled to see that in the code as a change for a variety of reasons. The first is of which is I have four rooms in my bed and breakfast, and I've worked very hard to build my business. I see a very strong give and take between the business that I'm able to provide to the community in respect to business travelers to the area who are seeking alternatives to the hotels, in the way of tourism travelers that come in the summer, and also in the way of sports organizations that come for track and field, swimming meets, and wrestling meets that are looking to house a group of players in one location so they can keep an eye on the kiddos. Those larger bed and breakfasts and vacation rentals allow us to assist in keeping the larger groups of and having them have a space that they can all reside in. Additionally, the tax benefits that are seen by the community and by way of the benefits that we provide, if I were to resell my business and I were grandfathered in with my four bedrooms, I would be at a negative because I would not be able to offer to someone coming in to be able to use all four of those bedrooms to be able to run their business as I have. There's also a huge need in the summer and in different types times of the year where there's an extreme overcrowding and there isn't enough space at the hotels, vacation rentals, or bed and breakfast establishments, which is another reason that this would be a huge hit to the B&B owners and to the tourism in general. Additionally, when I was reviewing Title 17 tonight, I noticed that there was a change that there could be no vacation rentals in R1 properties, which I think some of us might see that as a blow to us immediately, but I think with the growing age of the people in Kodiak and the opportunity for people to go down and see their additional family in the lower 48 and continue to rent their properties to help their incomes in the future, that this would just be a tremendous blow that people may not realize now but may realize in the future. Additionally, I'm a realtor, and I've had two times in the last few years where I've had buyers for properties where the sellers have had a non-conforming grandfather to their property. In both instances, these buyers have been unable to purchase the homes because the lenders will no longer loan on a property that cannot be rebuilt if it engages in a fire or something along those lines and continue to maintain its same non-conforming status. It literally stopped and halted two purchases, one about 5 days before the closing on that property. I know that property is still up for sale, and I know that there are a lot of other properties that people are completely unaware of this being an issue, which is why I see that as such a concern in the code and creating further grandfathers for the community. As we see more grandfathering, we will see more problems with especially zoning violations and other factors in people being able to resell their properties and have people use banks for that purpose instead of coming in with cash. Thank you for hearing me today.
Did you sign in?
I didn't, but
okay.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Elijah Heiner. And,
have you had a chance to sign in?
No, I wasn't going to sign in since the clock's going already.
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that my name is, and I'm 22 years old, and I graduated in 2013. And I just want to speak for the youth of Kodiak and for the youth also that used to be in Kodiak that have went to college and people that can't be here. I want to say that I want to be able to start my own business, start my own family, and it seemed really hard for me to be able to do that with all these laws, and also with the laws that are, that you guys want to start. So what I was supposing that you guys stick with the old one and just change it to make it easier for us youth and for the older people, and that And that I just wanted to say that also, when my grandfather came to Alaska, he started off with only 35 cents in his pocket. And he started off with a little canoe and wanted crabbing. And over the years, he's produced. Then my father took over. And over the time through that, it was easier to get to start off fresh, for people to start off. But it just seems that now, that for us to be able to do that, it just seems impossible. And really, also with the rules that are going on, it seems more like Kodiak would depopulate for the people out at Chiniak, Passadshack, people who live off the land. And someday I want to own my own property out the road. But it just seems very hard for me to be able to do that, especially save my own money. And also for the youth, that the people that have left, my friends that wanted to stay here, but they couldn't afford it because of the property taxes, because of putting in down payment loan. I understand that if you wanted to succeed in life, you got to work hard. But it seems like for us to work hard, it seems impossible for this loan, for this paper to go through. So I just wanted to speak and let my voice be heard. Thank you.
Is it better if I sign in first or speak?
We'll stop the clock until you start.
Make sure we're doing it all right. I'll go ahead and start. My name's Rachel Whidden, and I'm representing my husband and our family. I was born and raised here, as was my husband. His family was Coast Guards. So they left and came back, and they settled here. My grandfather came here with a Cadillac. Everyone thought they were rich when they rolled into town. Turns out they were broke, and they came in that Cadillac, and that's all they had. So we kind of have a fun family story. My grandpa Asa Beeler, my grandma who's now passed, Shirley Beeler, are from here. I love living here. I was born here. I was raised here, moved away, went to college, swore I'd never come back, and here I am. I wrote a lot of things I wanted to say, but I think speaking from the heart might be better. I'm a homeowner. My husband and I work very hard for everything that we have. We have two beautiful young children. We want to raise them in a community that takes care of each other, that fosters taking care of ourselves. Some of the reasons we love living here are the skiff that we take out and collect halibut, and we get to cook that for dinner, you know? And what you might think is trash in our yard is actually those nice tires that we've repurposed so that we can try out a new way for our potatoes. And our children have sandboxes that my husband has built. I like to walk off the back of my porch and collect chicken eggs in the morning, and I don't even have to leave my porch. My husband was so sweet that he built it against the porch, which I understand will no longer be legal. I was not familiar with the old code, so I went through and read the old code as well as the revised code. It took me a long time, and I've got to admit, even with one college degree and working on a second, there are a lot of parts I don't understand still. I will be attending future meetings and understanding it better when I come back to speak. Personally, I found 8 or 9 things that I will be breaking the law if it goes through. And they are very simple things that should not be breaking the law. I'm on a corner lot, so that presents some problems with height. Like I said, with the chickens, I have 18 of them. I have a 3-year-old son, and he is much louder than my 18 chickens. All hens. We have no roosters. We use all 18 of those chickens because chickens don't lay an egg every day. Not every chicken will give you an egg every day. And sometimes our older chickens might not lay as often, and that's okay because we like those chickens, and we're not going to send them off just because they're not laying every day for us. So to restrict it to 12 chickens is ridiculous. With hoop houses, we have lids that my husband has created on them that flip open, and they catch sunlight in the summertime. They do a wonderful job. They will not be allowed anymore because of the height requirements on them regards to our corner lot. That's a corner lot violation. Because of the height restrictions that I'm finding on the corner lots. Now, I didn't see if that was in the old code or just the revised code, but in a time that you're revising a code, I think it's worth looking at the old code and the revised code. Furthermore, there's been a lot of issues with bears and trash, and I was reading through the electrical fences, and I have some concerns with that as well. Just looking through that, I'm not completely familiar in understanding that, but as I see it, you're not allowed to use electrical fences for anything other than to keep your either livestock or poultry safe. The restrictions to 6 on animals, I think that's too small of a limit. I believe it was that included cats and dogs, I think, in that line item. There's just a lot of things in this code that I find to be too restrictive to the nature of Kodiak, to the community feeling, to what makes us so wonderful, that we can garden and give it to our parents and our family, that we can work on our crab pots in our yard, that we are able to take care of these. I appreciate the need for laws, absolutely. There is always going to be that one neighbor that just takes it way too far, too late at night, and I understand that we have to come up with codes that we can all live with to make us safe and neighborly. But again, going back to my 3-year-old son, he makes a heck of a lot more noise than most equipment that I know of. So unless we're going to ban all children from the island, I think there's a lot of noise restrictions we need to look into, and a lot we need to look at with livestock, a lot we need to look at with regulations on heights. So generally, I'm not saying necessarily throw out the new one or necessarily go all the way back to the old one, but I think there's a lot of things that I'm finding that are a bit too restrictive for the nature of Kodiak. I drove around actually to all the neighborhoods. I even went out the road and took some time just looking around properties. And as far as I can tell, unless you do not use your property at all and you go to work and you come home and you park your car and you call it a day, you will not meet these new regulations and codes. Almost every property I could find a violation going through line item by line item. And again, like I said, I'm college educated. I'm working on another degree. I'm a manager at 2 coffee shops here. I work very hard, and I had a hard time understanding some of the codes. So I'm sure that people maybe with that haven't had those same opportunities or even having a harder time understanding the code. The language is very difficult, and again, restrictive is the best word I can use. I want to live here. I want to grow old here. I want my children to grow old here. But we'll be out the door if you take away all these rights from us. We want to garden on our property. We want to have chickens. We want to bring the cost of living down so we can stay here. We love it here. So please consider looking over everything and maybe take some of those things out that make it so difficult on us. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name's James Rippey. I've lived here in Kodiak since 1977. First year I worked here, working with contractors on the base, was able to save enough money to buy a piece of property in Bell's Flats. Back then we were called all the young hippies that lived in Bell's Flats and Quonset huts and sheds and whatsoever here. I happened to live in a 12 by 20 shed for 3 years while I was building my house. We had the availability to do that. As a young adult, it was cheap enough. We didn't have any restrictions on how you can make your life better to get to where I am today. Today, I own 3 pieces of property invested in my community. At this point in time, I'm paying 16% property tax of my income. I'm going to get back to that a little bit here. In 1990, we had redone the code. We had a manager that was in the community development office there. She sat in her office for 2 years making that code. And when it came out, it's the code that we have now, and I was not pleased with that one at that time because it was so vague. Put too many stipulations on everybody across the board. What it did more than anything, that they had no way of enforcement on most of it, which I thought was okay with me because, like you say, right now, nobody's in compliance. What it did, though, it created, instead of having neighbors dealing with neighbor issues, you go across the fence and say, you know what, you're a little loud tonight. Your lights are too bright. You know, you're starting to encroach a little bit on my property. It was taken care of by handshake. And it was dealt with, or either that, you built a bigger fence. So what's happened here, once that code went out, it gave the public an avenue to go out and complain about your neighbor, that you didn't have to engage with your neighbor. The borough government became that cop. And so animosity grew from everybody. You got fear factor that this guy's doing this, or this guy's making money because he's got 2 of his bedrooms rented out in a B&B aspect. So everybody, oh man, can he do that? He's making more money than I am now. The bottom line of this is, everybody here, and I want to thank everybody that's in the audience here and everybody in the hallway, because we're all coming from opposite sides of the aisle, different income levels, different job types. So everybody here, I want to thank you because it makes me feel good that I live in a community that still cares. We, and all these people here, and everybody that has a piece of property here, we are the employer. Our borough government is the employee. We should be telling them what to do, and they should not be dictating everything we are doing here. And I have issue with that. We really need to look hard and close at that. I just, my daughter just moved out of here. She's 23. She tried to make it here. And as Mr. Heiner dictated, said here, our youth don't stand a chance. She had to move because of the cost of living here. Not only trying to find something, a piece of property that they could afford, groceries, gas, you name it, everything. I'm a contractor. What we ought to be looking at is why we're not looking at the fuel surcharge that hasn't gone down with our freight companies. We're getting killed here on this sort of thing. Next thing is, like I say, I've invested in some property. I have three pieces of property that I spend a lot of money on property tax. Our bonded indebtedness is getting ready to hit the ceiling here. Once this high school bond comes on board, they keep saying that the feds and the state are going to take care of our land dump out here. Somehow I think us taxpayers are going to take a lot of that on board. If I got to go more than 16% on my property tax of my income right now, I can't afford to live here anymore. And nobody else can either. We really need to take a look at that. So anyway, I would just say we need to scrap this whole thing. I wouldn't mind scrapping the old one, but we just need to tighten it up. No vague language. Make it work for everybody. You own a piece of property, it's your piece of property. We all have a homeowners association. It's called property tax. So do what you want on your own property. Be a good neighbor and make it work for everybody. Don't complain. Go talk to them. There are some people out there that are going to abuse it. But anyway, that's what I got to say, and thank you so much.
Sure. Appreciate you get a chance to sign it. Jim?
Hi.
Please sign in if you haven't already done so.
Say again?
Please sign in if you haven't already done so.
Go ahead.
We can start again for you.
Sorry. That's okay. We'll take as long as it takes. I'll start again. My name is Frank Bishop, and I've lived here going on 45 years. I know most of these people up here in the commissioners. Scott, I have a question. My home is a DCRA loan home. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with that, with the HUD stuff back in the late 60s, early 70s. Well, if this goes through, I won't be able to sell my home because it's not in conform. It doesn't conform to the new borough code. So is that going to say that everybody in Aleutian Homes that's under that old HUD housing because of their foundations or on piling is under code too? They're not in compliance?
Their grandfather.
Okay.
Under the building code.
Okay. You know, I know that you guys are thinking about the cost of the money that it's costed the borough to have this, whoever they were, come in and write up this code. It's way by far less costly to scrap this whole thing and go back to the old code and change what needs to be changed to fit our community than to fight with the community over what's going to happen, because it's going to be a fight. I'm just got to say, I don't have time enough to say how many times that of the things that I see in this code that I'm appalled at. You know, I look around the room here, and there's a lot of people in this room that are my age, and most of us went off to war to fight for what we're standing here trying to tell you people about right now. And most of us got bullet holes in us to prove it. So think about that for a minute, because you're taking away our freedoms that we dearly, dearly like. And I don't think this borough has that right, or never will have that right. as far as I'm concerned. And I'll do everything I can to fight it, whatever it takes. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.